This is our third shiur in the Sefer Olam Hamidos, with or without the text. Today is the sixth day of Chanukah, 30th of Kislev, first day of Rosh Chodesh Teves, December 18th, the Misparim. Last week, we spoke about the section that Tikkun Hamidos is a davar pnimi, meaning that it's something internal. It's not a question of practices, it's not a question of etiquette, and the Olam Hamidos analyzed that statement of Reb Chaim Vital that a person's midos could be measured based on his relationship with his wife, or we said with one spouse, or really any close relation. And we spoke about why that is, because that's where one's guard is down, and that's where the real nature of how you feel and how you act comes across. It's also inescapable. Some people can hold out with other traits when they're in the company of people, but eventually it comes out. We did speak about how the end of Shmoneh Esrei, we say, "V'lam kalalai nafshi sidom," to those who curse me, my soul should be silent, or even more than silent, should be totally at peace. It's not just a question of not responding, it's nafshi sidom. I spoke about the Edom Aron last week. Therefore, this all leads to the fact that midos are not etiquette, it's an internal change. And we had that, if I could say, awful story about the boys or talmidim of the altar of Slabodka who were debating whether this, a certain German expression, the way they spoke, was a reflection of good midos or not. And the story was told over by Rav Avram Elio Kaplan, who was an unbelievable gaon. Unfortunately, died in his 30s, but he was an unbelievable figure. Had he lived to be older, he would have been one of the names you hear about all the time. But anyway, he told over this story that they were debating, and without reiterating the story, there's some things that are just superficial practices that seem nice, but they don't connote, they don't indicate great midos, as was the case with the Nazis, very blatantly. Which brings us to page Tess. Who am I talking to?
Anyway. Oh, I have mine.
What page we're on is Torah Shabbat. Anyway, brings us to page Tes. Hamidos trichos lekov al pi mitzvos haTorah. Midos have to be established based on the mitzvos of the Torah. Let's see what he says. Kosov, it says in the book of Samuel 1, Vayachamol Shaul v'ha'om al Agog. Shaul and the people had mercy. I'm translating because we speak English, but vayachamol, the word there is chamal, chemla. He had chemla on Agog, on the king of Amalek. He had been commanded to destroy him, and he had mercy. V'isa b'medrash. Just for some usage here, the word isa is the same word as yesh. Aleph yud saf aleph. A little mathematical technique here. There are a lot of alephs in Aramaic, so cut off the aleph, you're left with yud saf. Tuf equals shin. Tuf in Aramaic equals shin in Tlas is shalosh. So isa means yesh. You'll see very often it's firm. Isa b'gemara. Isa b'medrash. It means there is. There is a statement in the medrash. Isa b'medrash. I'm trying to teach a little usage here also. Some yeshivis, some language. We mix it all in. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The great Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Kol shu rachamon al achzarim l'sof ne'ese achzar al rachamonim. Anybody who is merciful on the cruel, in the end will be cruel upon the merciful. Lahalon ksiv. Yeah. Because later on it says about Shaul, there's no v'irakonim hikalafi charev. Shaul actually had Doeg do it, but he had Nov Ir HaKohanim, the city of Kohanim, where Shaul had accused they were sheltering David. Shaul HaMelech was given a paranoia that David was after him, even though David repeatedly tried to demonstrate he wasn't. But at this point, late in the Sefer Shmuel Aleph, he comes to that city and accuses them, "You've been hiding David, you haven't informed me, you've been hiding things from me," and he actually has that city wiped out. Shaul had mercy on the king of Amalek, and then he didn't have mercy on Novi Rakon, which was considered a terrible thing.
Excuse me, Rabbi, could you read the first quote that you said, anybody who's just...
Anybody who... You want it in Hebrew or English?
English.
English, yeah. Anybody who is merciful on the cruel, in the end, will be cruel to the merciful. That's a famous teaching of Chazal.
We see and that they point, Israel. We
yeah,
see that
that's exactly right. Yeah. People have a lot of mercy on terrorists, but they don't have mercy on the people in the terrorists kill. Misplaced mercy, yes.
Who was he cruel to at the end?
A city called Nov, Nun Vez, with a...
Say it one more time.
Nov ir hakohen. The statement?
Wind up being
anybody who is merciful upon the cruel will end up being cruel upon the merciful. Right. It's a famous teaching of Chazal. It's in the Yalkut Shimoni on that Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. Says the author, Rabbi Kestenbaum, V'nira shamedrash melandenu shemidos ha'odam tzrichos likava al pi mitzvos ha'torah. What the Medrash is really saying is that midos have to be established and delineated and calibrated based on the mitzvos of the Torah. V'rak oz, and only then, hin chashuvos, are they significant, v'yesh lahan kiyam, and will they be lasting? In other words, we live in an age, people, how do you want to feel about that? How do you want to feel about this? People have very strong feelings of mercy here, of zealousy here. They have all kinds of different feelings, and the morals are always changing. This is what you have to be nice to, this is what you have to be mean to, and it's all, you know, moral relativism.
Sometimes people are cruel to somebody who's kind of nebbishy, like they're insensitive, they really treat the person like a
nothing. Oh, that's certainly a bad mida.
And you know, so like, you know. Anyway.
That's certainly a bad mida. That I don't think even pretends to be a good mida. I think what we're talking about here is not somebody who's a bully. Right. It's somebody who means to be practicing morality, but it's a morality that's, and it sometimes even takes a lot of strength of character. But what's it based on?
No, I
who told you to be kind here? Who told you to be cruel here?
But somebody wasn't bullying, but they just weren't as sensitive to that person.
Okay, so again, that's a different category.
They didn't give the kavod that they would give to somebody else, to this person.
Right, that's certainly a negative mida. That doesn't even pretend to be positive. Here we're talking about what looks like morals, what looks like strength of character, but it's not based on true morals. Aval midos ha'adam nikvaos kfirik shosa, but if man's midos are based on his feelings, shel ha'adam, and he says feelings here, he even means intellectually. What I feel, this is what I feel, would be correct in this case. Ukefi sechlo, as he says, based on his sechel, einan chashuvos ve'einan bore kayama. Something is a ben kayama, it means it can last. So bore kayama means things of a lasting nature. It's not going to last. It's a superficial positive mida.
Wait, so if it's based on his feelings, they cannot last?
Yeah, if it's not based on a higher authority. Oh. That's what he's saying.
Only on feeling being.
Yeah. Midas have to be calibrated per the way the Torah says. But I mean, what he's going to say here is that Shaul HaMelech, at some level, Shaul was a great man, selected by God. Make no mistake, when we're sitting here criticizing Shaul HaMelech, there's no psukim in Tanakh that say that any of us is great. There are psukim in Tanakh that say that Shaul HaMelech is great. That's a pretty big endorsement. But even at his great level, he did make a terrible error for which he lost the kingship. And that was this incident. I was having mercy on Amalek and the king of Amalek. At some level, he practiced mercy. He probably didn't mean it to be this way, but it was really based on his own judgment, not on the guidance given to him by Hashem. And if you have that flaw, slight as it may be, it means your practice of a midah of mercy, or your practice of a midah of anger, is not really based on what the Torah is saying, it's based on what I say. And once it's based on what I say, so I can be kind when I should be harsh, and I can be harsh when I should be kind, and that's what ended up happening. That's why Chazal say, if it's not being guided by the Torah, then it's all, eventually it's going to come out. So very nice. He was exceedingly merciful here. He's going to be exceedingly harsh over there. That's what happens. Similar when Chazal said that anybody who breaks vessels in his anger, like worships Avodah Zarah. Why? The answer is because he's out of control. Once you're out of control, so it's not the Torah that's guiding it. That's the same idea here. So let me read what he says. Borei Masha Asa Shaul. Come take a look what Shaul did. Hunis Chayev Larogis Agog. I just want to add a little bit of commentary here, as if that's not what I'm doing the whole time. But before I speak, I want to say something. And that is, if you look in the Malbim, I mean, when we study the sins of very great people, and whenever you study Tanakh, you have to study it very carefully. Here we're just citing this incident without really studying it. The Malbim there, and the Malbim gives us great insights into Tanakh and into the usage of words in Tanakh. What it says is, Vayachamol, Shaul had chemla on Agag. Shaul and the people had chemla on Agag. It doesn't say vayachas, doesn't say vayirachem, doesn't say he had rachmonos. I'll use that word, but it says he had chemla. The Malbim defines the difference between chus, rachem, chamal. And he says that chamal is not when you're overcome with remorse. It's where intellectually you say it doesn't make sense to squander that. It doesn't make sense to harm that. Chemla, he says, is more the word. It's not where you have a feeling, I can't bring myself to do this. It's where intellectually you say, well, why should we kill the animals? Why should it? It's more of an intellectual thing. And he says that's why it was a sin. If Hashem had given Shaul a mitzvah, and it was just a very hard mitzvah to carry out, sometimes the Torah says, this nation, you have to be very harsh with the people. The person says, I have a hard time with that. So it's not good, he's not aligning his heart with the mitzvah of Hashem, but it's an emotional reaction. The problem with Chamal is really intellectual. It wasn't even like he was overcome with feelings of mercy, it was just that he decided it doesn't make sense to kill them, we should keep them alive.
I once gave a talk, probably more than once, to parents who were deciding about schools and got into this whole thing that they wanted to send the kids to the Quaker schools.
You give those talks? Can you?
Not anymore.
You want to come on recruitment mission with me? Anyway.
No, but I do pass it. Should you go to the Masifta or should you go to the Quaker school? And all these Jewish parents were saying, the Quaker school, they have their values. It's the same values. And they intellectually really believed that they were, that the Quaker schools were teaching values. So what's the difference? Their values and... And I would say, well, here's the thing. They are values, but these are Jewish values, and they are not synonymous. But it was an uphill battle because people convinced themselves that the values of the Quakers, which we now know and knew then, but many people and still do enroll their kids in the school thinking values are values.
Right. I mean, I think there's two points. One is the previous chapter, which is etiquette is not values. Live in a superficial world where if the person comes off nice, that's good enough. And that
these
is a madrega.
Deep values.
Right. But at deeper values, you will find things really depart. And the Torah is not at all synonymous. Even with groups that we have superficial alliances with, because there's some commonality, in many places we really part ways. And that's important to keep in mind. That is right. Shaul having mercy is an example. Who did he have mercy on? So, Ach Richem Olav, but he had mercy on him. He utilized the Midah of mercy. Shalokafi Ritzon HaTorah, not per the will of the Torah. Even though, generally speaking, mercy is a good trait. We have traits that we call good and traits that we call bad, and that's true. Somebody once said something that was a mistake. So we don't have positive traits and negative, we just have what the Torah tells us to do in a given circumstance. Sometimes murder is good, sometimes murder is bad. That's ridiculous. And it's against many statements of Chazal. Of course, there are positive and there are negative. Just sometimes you're supposed to utilize something that, for the most part, is not a good thing. So Rachmanus is a good trait. Having mercy, we are described as Rachmanin. The Jewish people are described as people of mercy. So even though Rachmanus is usually good, v'zeh mimidas and shal yisrael, it's among the traits of the Jewish nation. Mikol makom yesh pa'amim she'asru l'rachem kimo kan, but there are instances where you're not allowed to. If you look at the way the Rambam writes about a circumstance where there's a rodev, in his halacha, he gives a little shmooze, like, don't start practicing mercy. This person is running after somebody to kill somebody else, and you feel bad for the pursuer. What about the pursued? So, v'lochein Shmuel, therefore Shmuel, after the prophet Shmuel gives Shaul rebuke, he says, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. And you spared the animals because you want to make offerings to Hashem. Hashem said he doesn't want these offerings. He wanted the animals eliminated. Hine Shmoa mizevach tov lahakshiv mechel v'elim. Listening is better than a karbon. That's what he says to him. But then, when Shmuel goes himself to Agog, v'lochein Shmuel hikvid larog ba'atzmos Agog. This is a striking thing, literally and figuratively. Shmuel himself went and slaughtered Agog. It's hard for us to imagine Shmuel Hanavi. In my mind, is the likeness of picture here, Gadol Hadar. But he went over himself and killed Agog. U'kemosh nemar v'yishasev Shmuel as Agog l'fnei Hashem b'Gilgal. So the Navi uses a verb there, v'yishasev, which you don't find elsewhere in Tanakh, to my knowledge. Doing a quick scan. I think the Mefarshim say that it's an uncommon word. We don't really have the likeness of it elsewhere. But it means to chop up. V'loshon v'yishasev pirush rashi shechatocha la'arba. He, is there an English word for that, no? To cut something in quarters? He quartered
it. It was a colonial. They were in England. They were quartered.
Quartered, okay.
Drawn and quartered.
Okay, right. So he was drawn quartered. Which Rashi is quoting from Chazal. There's nothing in the word that says that, but there's a Chazal that none other than Shmuel Hanavi cut Agog into four pieces. L'landenu she'ein kan makom l'rachmanas. Why? You know, could have just cut him in two. Probably would have been equally fatal. But to this is not the place for rachmanas. This is the place for the opposite midah, even though that's a rare midah, and it's a midah that we have to keep in check. But here, that was a terrible error. So he probably was like overcompensating for Shaul. Shmuel Hanavi, Shai Ish Tzadik, Vitamim, Noim Bimidosa. Shmuel Hanavi was a Tzadik and complete and pleasant in his midos. Halach Vashisef is Agog, went and quartered Agog. Lahoros Lanu Shish, Pamim Shasul Rachaim, Melalakai Mitzvah Hashem Bimilua. There are instances where it's forbidden to be merciful, but rather to carry out the will of Hashem in its entirety. Next paragraph, Ala Mito Shaldavar. The truth of the matter, Kan Hadavar Poshut Amay Lohaya Makam L'Rachmanus Kemosha Amar Shmuel Agog Kodim Sharago. Here it was obvious why this was not an instance to be merciful. As Shmuel said to Agog, said to the evil king of Amalek before he killed him, is a famous phrase, Ka'asher Shikla Noshim Charbecha Kein Tishkal Minoshim Imecha. Just as your sword has made women bereaved, so shall your mother bereaved. Your mother be bereaved. There's actually a word in Hebrew that you don't have in English. There's a particular shorish, which means the loss of a child. It's shin chaf lamed, shakul. Yeah, so kasha shikla nashim charbecha. Your sword made women, this type of bereavement, bereaved with their children. So Shmuel says this to Agog before he kills him. And it really catches the attention. It catches the attention of the commentators. The famous halachic explanation. Like, what do you have to do that for? What do you have to make a speech for? So, for the briskers among us, the halacha is that the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek only applies when there's a king. We don't have a mitzvah to kill Amalek today. In case you had other plans for today. I heard from a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein that somebody came into Rav Moshe Feinstein's Purim Suda one time and started saying how a story about how Rav Chanan Wasserman killed an Amalek. He killed an answer. Moshe said, didn't kill Amalek. That's not true. We don't have a mitzvah to kill Amalek today. We don't know who Amalek is, but it's only when there's a king. So at a halachic level, some people say the reason why Shmuel had to give a reason why he's killing Agog is because he just took away the kingship from Shaul. Shaul just lost being king. If you read what happens in the text there, he comes to Shaul. Shaul says, yeah, I did what you told me. And Shmuel Hanavi says, no, you didn't. Hashem, listen to what Hashem told me. You just so Kara Hashem Samamloch. Hashem just tore away the kingship from you. So now there's no king. If there's no king, there is no mitzvah to kill Amalek. So he's saying, I'm killing you because you're a murderer anyway. That's the halachic way of explaining this statement. But we are analyzing it at a more basic level, Musar level. And it's funny, I'm so caught up in the other pshat, I never paid attention to the basics. And that is, he's trying to demonstrate, this is a horrible, murderous person. This is not the place for rachmanas. This is how we respond to Agog. Kasha shikla nashim charbecha. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
When you say that killing Amalek only applies to a king, when we have a king
When the Jewish people have a king, yeah. So the Adarava, to the contrary, Yeshlomo Shemidas Harachmanas Mechayevas L'Rachem Al Kol Mishin Itzdar Osed L'Itzdar Tachas Yadav Shalos Rasha. The if you have the trait of mercy, you should be concerned for the people who are going to be killed by this murderer, the people who are going to be pained by this murderer. That's mercy.
I don't know. Book is about Israeli politics. Second statement. I wonder if in the debate that they're having about the death penalty for terrorists, that's an argument that they would cite that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they bring that, you know, who makes that decision.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, so I don't, but I'm just saying it's an interesting, you could make that argument from a text to contemporary. It's a contemporary situation.
You'll even find among Chachma Yisrael, people split on that, whether any government other than the Sanhedrin should have a death penalty. Is it a deterrent? Some of it's pragmatic. Is it a deterrent? Is it not a deterrent? Does anybody have that right?
Israel doesn't have a death penalty.
No, right. But they want to reinstate it for the terrorists. It's a contemporary argument. I don't know what the argument was around the Eichmann trial. Yeah. But
Right. It's it.
He was the only one, right?
One other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I think some of the debate certainly involves misplaced Rachmanis, but I'm not sure that that disqualifies the argument.
Right, against, that this is the argument of why you shouldn't have Rachmanis, so the argument with the terrorists right. Or whatever. Yeah. And
Rachmanis certainly shouldn't be. The only question is whether it's effective in dealing with people who are looking to die anyway. It's a little hard. So it's not much of a bargaining chip. But I don't know,
right. Bob. I don't know, but I just.
I don't know, Bob. Can see the scratch that from
like
the record.
A related. I just want to make sure no one thought.
Just for sources, since you mentioned that the tshuva's base avi, Rav Libus has a tshuva in favor of the death penalty strongly, and the Gesher HaChaim in a footnote mentions it was opposed to it. Aaron Soloveitchik was opposed, and the rest of the, you can research, write a report for next week. Anyway,
it's optional.
What we have to know is that our own thoughts don't apply when the Torah has a mitzvah. We have to believe Hashem is correct, is righteous in all of his ways. And that's how it's supposed to be. Its ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all of its paths are peace. By the way, the Malbim says a derech is a highway, and a siva is Bryn Mawr Avenue, maybe even Kenwood Road. It's a smaller, it's the path less traveled. The main primary teachings of the Torah are Noam and Shal, you'll find Shalom and even all the details, that's what it refers to. Derech HaTorah la'olam hu tov. The way of Torah is always good. V'chol shu keneged HaTorah zehu ra. Whatever is opposed to Torah is bad. U'ma sheshol richem al agog mishum shehalach achar teva libo. The fact that Shaul pursued, had mercy on Agog because of the nature of his heart. Again, I want to keep reiterating. It's very, thank you very much. It's an important thing whenever we criticize the Ishei Tanakh or anybody in Chazal. We're meant to do that. Rav Hirsch has a very beautiful and beautifully articulated piece. I think in one of the instances where Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry, he says, look how the Torah criticizes even the greatest of men for us to learn. But at the same time, you have to realize who we're talking about. Again, Shaul was a Bechir Hashem. David HaMelech has the greatest respect for Shaul, even when he's after him, because he says that Hashem holds this man in the highest esteem. So we're learning from some negative trait. Realize that in Shaul, it was something very subtle. We could probably find it in ourselves in a more coarse way. But Shaul had mercy on Agog because he was following the nature of his heart. V'lo achar ratzon Hashem. It wasn't Hashem's will. Therefore, when Shaul's heart became filled with jealousy and hatred toward David, nimna milarugas kohane Nov, he did not hold himself back from killing the kohanim of Nov. Even though this was the opposite of the will of Hashem, that's what Chazal mean. Kol shu rachman al achzorim l'sof nasa achzor al rachmanim. It comes from the same trait. If my rachmanis isn't coming from the Torah, then my where I'll be an achzor is also not being defined by the Torah. L'landenu ba, it comes to teach us she'adonim im einam akushal ritzon Hashem mitzvos haTorah. If man is not tied to, bound to, the mitzvos, the will of Hashem and the mitzvos of the Torah, as vada yatam naderach hayishar v'yipol bereshus hayetzer, he will definitely stray from the correct path and fall into the domination of the Yetzer Hara.
I have a question.
Yes.
When David HaMelech, David, he wasn't. Well, maybe he was. Cuts Shaul's cape. Is he had a debate within himself whether he should do that or not. Was he right in doing that or wrong in doing that?
So that's also a very interesting question. If you read the text, it seems like it was the right thing to do.
Right.
It did to some degree show Shaul that David did not mean to kill him.
Right.
Nevertheless, we have this amazing teaching from our Chachamim that the reason why, at the end of his life, as we read about in the beginning of Malachim, the reason why, Vayichasuhu babagodim velu yicham lo, we read it as Haftarah a few weeks ago, King David was old, coming in days, he was 70, old for him. And for him, that was old. For him, and they covered him in garments, and no, for him it was old because that was his lifespan. And they covered him in garments, and it wouldn't. They didn't warm him. The Maharsha explains, if I recall correctly, where the inference comes from. So our sages say, why did this happen? Because he didn't treat garments respectfully, so therefore garments didn't work for him in his old age because he cut Shaul's garment. So the Maharsha says it says they covered him with garments and they wouldn't warm him. Anything else would have worked. If he got those hand warmers, that would have been. Garments didn't. Why? Because he had sinned against garments. That's where Chazal saw it from. They covered him with garments and they wouldn't warm him. There's something about garments. So you look, so where in David's life was there an incident with garments? Ah, it's when he cut the corner of Shaul's cloak. But there too, it's a subtle criticism, because I think for us we would have said that's the right thing to do. He's trying to show he didn't have it in for Shaul. If he wanted to kill him, he could have killed him, but he didn't. Yet there was some subtle disrespect of clothing, and what we respect works. What we don't respect doesn't work. So in life.
To me, that sort of begs a question, though, because the way he warmed himself was by young women, by body heat. Yet he had maybe sinned with Bathsheba. So why would that work then? It seems like that shouldn't work.
That's an interesting
parallel.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. That's a very interesting question. That is a very interesting question. I don't know if the chay with Bathsheba was a disrespect or a different the way he's criticized.
Contemporary.
Huh?
Can't apply contemporary.
No, that whole story has to be understood at the right level, but there was a chet there, and not the chet that it looked like. Because also anybody says David Chotain El Toa is making a mistake, but the Navi does say at some level it was a sin. Anyway, this is not my Shmuel class, so I'm going to...
No, but that's
a fascinating question. Yeah, that's very good. Very
but
good.
The woman that he was with, he didn't really have intimacy
right,
with.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, that whole thing I had to understand.
To keep them warm.
Yeah. Since I'm a Malbimist, I will tell you that the Malbim says that was also the backdrop for that whole story, that Adonia was rebelling because David had this unique kind of circumstance where he had to have Avishag around, so it wasn't respectful for people to come in and see him. So he was sort of aloof because he had this circumstance. It wasn't like people shouldn't come in and see the king in that arrangement. So because of that, he didn't have intelligence. He didn't have intel, and that's how the whole thing started. If you look in the rest of these David HaMelech's life, he's very astute. And he knows what's going on. He knows what's going on even behind his back. There's a few instances where you see he knows who teamed up with Avshalom, but here all of a sudden he's not in the loop because he was separate. Anyway, but we're not studying Navi now. No further questions. Okay.
Maybe we should.
All of Torah is beautiful. V'zeh haloshon, we should. Midos, that's why what we call in English good character traits, in Hebrew we call midos, which means measures. Shesharoshon miloshon medida, the sharosh, the root of the word, comes from measuring. Sharei l'kol ha'argashos shelonu yesh makom. For all of our feelings, there is a place. Ela ha'baal midos, who's a shesholeit al atzma, but a person we call a baal midos, a master of good character, is one who, sholeit means to dominate, who he rules over himself, u'mishtamash, I'm on top of page Yud Aleph, u'mishtamash b'chol mida b'zman ha'royu v'mokom ha'roy. He uses each mida at the right time, and at the right place. I mean, if you study what the great Musar schools were doing in Europe, which again is so far from what we have today, but they literally measured every motion of their body that it shouldn't be extra. They tell over that in the Kelm Yeshiva, if somebody's sitting at a train station to catch a train, they were habituated that if they're sitting at a train station and you start to hear in the distance the train is coming, so what does everybody do?
Jump off.
You go and you look, you must see if it's your train. But there's no reason to. When it's in front of you, you'll look up. If it's your train, you'll go. So they wouldn't look. Even an unnecessary motion. They worked on everything about their character. So midas is, where should I feel sympathy? Where should I feel this has to be responded to harshly? That's what it's all about. Therefore, if the moment requires that Shmuel should be cruel, Ken Yasa, the word achzar, which is a word for cruel, comes from two words in the book of Eov. Achzaru mimeni, alas, they have estranged themselves from me. The way that a person can be cruel is when you dissociate yourself. We feel a natural connection to other people. I can't bear to see that person suffer because I feel connected. But the first thing that cruel people do is they don't feel connected. Hirsch translates, that's the Hirsch and the Tziv. One of the great 19th century Gaonims translates that's the word Avodas Perech, when it says that the Mitzrayim made the Jews work slavery that was Perech, Avodas Perech. The only, I think it's for Hirsch, the only other word we have that's like Perech is Parochus. What is a Parochus? It's the curtain. Forever. It separates. It separates the Torah from you. Avodas Perech was, these are not human beings. Just like the Nazis did. These are not human beings. This is cattle. This is human cattle. These are people who are not connected to us. That's how they could convince a whole society of people who were supposedly Balei Midos and sophisticated and educated to
Mitzrayim. And
Mitzrayim was the
Germany
same.
And yeah, everywhere else.
What the Ramban writes about Mitzrayim is very similar to what we saw in Nazi Germany. So, generally, Achzarius, Achzar, alas, this person is a Zar, is a strange, that's a bad Midah. But when it comes to a person like Agag, Shmuel has to say he isn't like me. And he has to follow the mitzvah of the Torah. Ken yasa. V'me'ein adam yachal alechus k'negativa. A person can't go against his nature. V'hu rach b'makom shetzarech liyos chazak. And he's soft where he needs to be strong. Einenu ba'al midos. He is not a ba'al midos. In fact, we learned here years ago the Chazon Ish in Emunah Bitachon. He says that it's a mistake to say that somebody is very developed in some midos and not others. What that probably means is that's his more natural inclination. He's very, very developed in this, and he's terrible at that. It probably means because he's more naturally this way, but this is the one that's challenging because he has to work on him. If a person works on his midos, he should be able to invoke any midos. He's ready to go against the grain, go against his nature in anything. Either one has the ability to go against one's nature or not. Along these lines, I heard an explanation of the well-known pasuk, ani Hashem. You shall love your fellow as yourself. I am Hashem. What is that addendum there? Ani Hashem. She'ava l'chaveiro tzricha liyos rak machmas tzivoy Hashem. The way you love another person has to be because Hashem commanded. Avalim o'avo b'glal shezehu tivo. He loves me because that's his nature. I'm a social guy. O machmas davar acher or something else. Ein ze nechshav l'klum. It's not worth anything. And again, he mentions the Nazis. V'zema she'ira b'Europa b'zman ha'shoah. This is what happened in the time of the Shoah. Shanoshim shahaya nira shiyeshla midos tovos. People who looked like they had good midos. Ulachol hapachos midos harachamonos. At the very least, it looked like they had mercy. There are many accounts of Nazis who would cry for the loss of a pet or whatever. Nepchulach zorim berotzchem turned into cruel and murderous people. Shamidos shalahem lohayu amitios, because their midos, quote unquote, were not true. Ki lohayu kshurim loratzon habore, they weren't tied to the will of the Creator. Bilochain, it's the wrong music for this. Bilochain bakal, therefore easily net hulur shayim gemurim. Therefore they easily became absolute rishayim machmas hashpas hazman due to the influence of the time. This is the ideology today. There are superhumans and then there are subhumans and we'll apply our midos as they fit into that worldview. So there's no midos at all. Some of what was going on around them. It was really centuries of anti-Semitism and so on. Therefore one has to know, shafilu im echad hu bal midos miyachados. Even if a person has special midos, im ein ze noveya mitoch ratzon habore, if it doesn't stem from the will of the Creator, machmas ha'ani Hashem, coming from ani Hashem, oz einon shavos ma'uma, then they're not worth anything. Ta'er la'atzmacha. Ta'er means to
describe.
Elaborate.
Ta'er, to make it. Of English. To make an image. To, picture for yourself. Sheshchein. Right. Sheshchencha. Hanochri. You have a Gentile neighbor. Who nira kebal midos tovos. You have a neighbor who's a good bal midos. Now this is a little harsh. And I'm going to put a PC disclaimer here, but Avol Hayisa Yodea Baseis Halibcha Shem Haya BeYeropa Bezman Lachemus Olam Hayenepach Nazi. If you knew somebody who looks like a Bal Midos, but you knew that if he lived in Nazi Germany, he'd be on that side, or an accomplice, Hayim Adayin Tomar Lav Shu Bal Midos Tovos, would you still say he's a person of great Midos? Lo v'lo. V'chein Kosav HaOrchos Tzadikim. We have a classic and great Musar Sefer called the Orchos Tzadikim. Who wrote it? Anyone? Nobody knows, because nobody knows. We don't know who wrote the Orchos Tzadikim. It's interesting. It was actually first published in the 16th century in Yiddish. I learned this from Dini's uncle, who's a great expert in Svarim. What was it called? It had a funny name. It wasn't called Aruch HaTzaddik. I forgot what they called it. You can find it on Hebrew books if you know the name. But anyway, it was originally published in Yiddish. So when you read it, it looks like a natural Hebrew sefer. And I think it may have been originally written in Hebrew, translated to Yiddish, but now we have it in Hebrew. Very readable, very beautiful sefer. It collects from the other earlier classic Musar Svarim, and it goes through different midas. So in his akdam, in his introduction, the Aruch HaTzaddikim writes, this is a quote, "Lochein yesh laudi al hakol." We should make known to all. Ki kol ish, any person, harotza l'havi nafsha l'idei midos hatovos, who wants to bring himself or herself to good midos, tzarech la'arev yira shamayim im kol mida umida, has to combine, has to mix in. La'arev means to mix in. Fear of heaven into every mida. Ki yiras Hashem hi kesher hamachazekas kol amidos. Yiras Hashem is the bond, is the tie that holds together all the midos. Now listen to this mashal, this analogy that he gives us. This is really something to contemplate. V'dome l'chut shechnisu l'toch chori hamargolios. It's like the string that goes through a necklace. You have pearls, you have jewels there. This is the string that goes through all of them. V'kashu k'shar b'tachtiso, and you tie a knot at the end. Expensive pearls, you actually tie a knot in between each one, I think. But anyway,
some do.
I was just showing off my knowledge.
That's good.
Or lack thereof.
People are impressed.
thank you. That's Gaiva. Oh no, that was arrogance, haughtiness. let's skip to there. Anyway,
you'll buy the pearls; you'll be fine. Buy the pearls. Yeah.
Oh, Gina's not listening. Anyway, lahatz kol hamargolios. So you put a string through, and it's to hold all the jewels together. Ein suffik. This is all the Aruch HaTzaddikim. Ein suffik. There is no doubt. Ki behinotek hakesher. That knot undoes. Yiplu kol hamargolios. So they all fall. Kach hayira. So too, fear, meaning fear of Hashem. Hiya mechazekes kol hamidos. It's what holds together. I've mentioned the word chazak in Hebrew, lahachazik, doesn't just mean to be strong. It means to hold. So it means to like take fast hold. Hiya mechazekes kol hamidos. Vim tatir kesher hayira. If you'll undo, if you'll release the bond of yira. Yivdu mimcha kol hamidos tovos. So all the other midas will separate from you. They'll fall off. And then if you don't have midos, you don't have Torah and mitzvos either. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta used to say, midos are the schlissel to shas. Midos are the key to shas. And that's the way to understand the Torah is to have good midos. The entire Torah is dependent on the fixing of the midos. Kikol ha-midos tovos aros. All midos, good and bad. Hachacham yachol lasos haroos latovos, v'aksil yasem midos tovos laroos. The chacham can make bad midos good, and the fool makes good midos bad. Which is why we need the guidance of the Torah to make it happen properly. We'll just do a little more in the next section here on page Yud Beis, which is given the heading Hatorah mechayeves lemala misichlam shel bnei adam. The Torah obligates, the Torah requires that which is above the seichel of man. What he's going to talk about is the level of midas that we are held to and obligated, things that it goes beyond intuition. Sometimes it far exceeds what we would think can be expected. So he says as follows, we have to know, it's incumbent upon us to know, it requires a purity of midas that's above the seichel of man. The mashal. Now, this first example, I know you can maybe debate if it really is above man's seichel, but im chaveiro einu noeg imo koroi mavazo, so his friend does not conduct himself properly with him, and he embarrasses him. I don't know why I'm forgetting my English. He denigrates him. He's mavazo him. Ha'im ha'yinu choshim shetorach ligmo lo chesed. Would we think that you have to be kind to that person? Lo v'lo. No. So there are other people in the world who would say yes. So I don't know if this is not the strongest example, but certainly many people don't feel inclined to do kindness with such a person. Avla Torah amr lo sikom v'lo sitar. The Torah says don't take revenge and don't guard. What do I mean, don't guard? See, notar means to guard. What does it mean? You're not allowed to take revenge, you're not allowed to guard. What it means is you're not You're not allowed to act on the negative feeling you feel toward this person with justification, and you're not even allowed to guard that feeling within your heart. You have to let it go. That's what those two terms. Because of Achinuch, the Sefer Achinuch, which is a beautiful Sefer from a Rishon on mitzvos, and he gives us the reasons to the degree we can understand them for mitzvos. He writes, Shelo lintar, we're not supposed to bear a grudge, guard our anger within ourselves. Kilomer means to say, Shenin no enemy lintar bilvavenu masha hirulonu echem Yisrael. We are being told not to hold within our hearts the bear that another Yid did for us. Even if we were to resolve, I'm not going to act on it. I'm upset at him. I'm not going to do anything. We were even told not to even remember, not to keep it inside. It's a very hard mitzvah. That's what it means when it says, first of all, losikim, don't take revenge, and lositer, don't even keep it bottled up. Would man's seichel require this? This goes beyond what's accepted in the world. I won't act anything. I'm upset at him. But here we're supposed to even let the grudge go. When you study Chumash, everybody knows the Rashi in Chumash, which says, what's lo sikam? Well, he didn't lend me his shovel, so when he comes to borrow my shovel, I say, I won't give it to you, just like you didn't give it to me. And lo sitar is, he didn't lend me his shovel yesterday, which is when it was actually snowing. He didn't lend me his shovel, and now when he comes to borrow mine, I say, here, you can have it, I'm not like you. So people misunderstand. It's not the fact that he said that. The point is, he didn't take revenge because he did lend the shovel, but you can see that he's still upset. That's what Rashi's illustrating. It's not the fact that he said it, it's the fact that he still has the anger, even though he didn't act on it, quote-unquote, because he did lend the shovel. He didn't treat the other person badly the way he treated him, but he still feels it in his heart. Ve'od dugma, another example. Dugma's an example. Isa, what does Isa mean?
Joe.
There is. Okay, good. 2 points. Aleph Yud Saf Aleph.
Isn't Isa Joe?
No, but you gotta. It's Aleph Yud Saf Aleph. Different spelling.
You can spell it.
Yeah, but Isa is Do. You're correct. Aleph Yud Saf Aleph is Yesh. In Aramaic, Isa b'Mesachas Kedushin. It says in the Gemara Kedushin, Aleph Posuk. Now, there's a Posuk in Parshas Re'eh, similar to what we have in Mishpatim, but in Parshas Re'eh, it's talking about an Eved Ivri who doesn't want to leave. You have a Jewish slave, and if slavery had existed in the rest of the world the way slavery exists as a construct in the Torah, it would have been a very different world. Oh, yeah. That's when people are critical. The Torah believes in slavery. The Torah believes in a totally different slavery than anything you've ever seen or read about. And this is Eved Ivri. This is even one level up from that. The Eved Ivri said he doesn't want to leave. Why? Because he had a good with you. Shadarshu Chazal, it says he's with you. Imcha b'machal v'imcha b'mishti. He's with you in your food, with you in your drink. Shalote ata ochel pas nakiya v'hu ochel pas kibar. You shouldn't be eating what we call clean bread, and he's eating. It's funny, in our time, pas kibar, I think, is basically like whole grain bread. So today, like, that's what you should give him. That's like the fancy stuff. You can only get it, you know. But in the olden days, they liked the white flour to some degree today also. So you shouldn't be eating the fine bread, and he's eating the bread that still has the grains in it. Ata shosa yayin yoshan, you're drinking old wine. Who shosa yayin chada, she's drinking wine that hasn't fermented. Ata yoshan agabi muchim, who yoshan agabi hateven, you're sleeping on mattresses or on cushions, and he's sleeping on the straw. Mikan Amr, from here, our sages said, Kol akona eved ivri kekona adon la'atzmo. If you acquire an eved ivri, even though in theory he's your slave, he has to work for you, you are acquiring a master for yourself. Uvitosos sham, so you look on the side of the page there in Kedushin, and the tosvos, hikshu, they ask, lamaha eved nechshav la'adon? Why did our sages say, when you acquire an eved ivri, a Jewish slave, it's like you acquired a master? Why is it like a master? He's equal. You acquired an equal, not a master. He's not my master. Halo rak shovelo. He's only equal. V'tirtzu al pi Yerushalmi. And Tosa's answer is based on the Yerushalmi, which is the Jerusalem Talmud. Shepa'amim ein la'adon ela kar achas. Because sometimes you only have one pillow. V'im shokhev alav ein ha'makayim ki tolinuch. So if I'm the owner, he's the slave. If I have only one pillow, if I sleep on it, so then I'm not treating him as an equal. Vim eino shochev ola v'gam eino moser la'avda zumi the stone. So maybe it's all right. So I'm not going to sleep on it because then I'm not treating him as an equal. I'm not going to give it to him because then he's my superior. But that's me the stone. So nobody gets to sleep on this down my pillow. If you call now.
I have to say they're great. I called. I highly recommend them. Really? It's completely different. It's great. That's all I'm saying.
If the commercial
now,
of the day.
And mention my name, Avram Steinberg. You'll get 10% off.
It's great.
Send it to Mom for Hanukkah. Anyway.
So, if you want to come over, you can try it out.
Anyway. Yes, so I'm sorry. I didn't mean to digress. But anyway. So if you have one pillow, so I can't use it myself and not give it to him, then I'm not treating him as an equal. And then if I don't give it to him because I say it's not right, I'm the master, he's the servant, that's me the stump. So nobody's using this fine whatever type of pillow it is. That's not right. Nimtza sha'al koch tzorach liten la'evet. So the only option in such a case, when you only have one, the only option is what?
Give it to him.
Give it to him. V'lachein shapir, shapir means like very well, good. Shapir amru chazal shehu kekona adon la'atzmo. So our sages said very well, it's like acquiring a master, because there are cases where you can actually have to treat him like a superior. So these are the midas that the Torah expects of us. You have a servant? What other society would you think of when you have a servant, you have to treat him better than yourself? V'yaseira mizu. More than this, hare chayev ha'adam lihidamos leboro. Man is obligated to lihidamos, is to be like. Domen is like lihidamos, to make oneself like his creator. Kemosha amru chazal, as our sages said, it's a gemara in a few places. He's quoting from the 19th chapter of Maseches Shabbos. Mahu chanan v'rachu, maaf ata yechanan v'rachu. Just as Hashem is favorable and merciful, so should you be favorable and merciful. Because of hatomer dvora, the great and kabbalistic sefer, the Tomer Dvora writes. It's a short sefer. This is early on in the sefer. Shahamida shel Mikael kamocha. We have these psukim. Mikael kamocha. We're supposed to emulate. We're supposed to be like the midas of Hashem. Hainu hamidas hasavlonos shel Hashem. It's the mida of tolerance or patience that Hashem has, which we are supposed to emulate. So he says as follows. It's funny. This was a teaching of Yisrael Salanter that his students say over, and I don't know why they don't quote it from the Tamar Devar. It's straight out. And the Talmud Devar, Yisrael Salanter had a practice that if somebody wronged him, he would right away do a chesed for that person. That somebody hurt Yisrael Salanter, offended him, whatever it was, he would right away do a chesed of some nature. And he said why based on this concept. For whatever reason, when it's quoted, they don't mention it in the name of the Talmud Devar, but it's explicit in the Talmud Devar, because that's what Hashem does. Hashem is right now giving me life, he's giving me breath, he's making my heart pump, and he does that even when a person is sinning. A person is sinning, he's in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's living room, violating Hashem's will, and as he's doing that, Hashem is keeping him alive, with all of the chasadim that go into, so what happens? When we act against Hashem, what does he do? He does chesed to us. So says the Talmud Torah, so you're supposed to copy that. Somebody does something not nice to you, be like Hashem, who sustains even those who violate his will.
To the umpteenth generation, I think.
Huh?
To the umpteenth generation.
Right. Share ein rega shelo yadam nizon miskayem mikoch al yonam hashpil. There's no moment when a person is not being sustained and held alive from the power from above. V'nimtza shebaosa shah shadam chote kineged Hashem. So it turns out the moment when a person sins against Hashem, Hashem mashpia alav chiyusa. Hashem is giving to him his life, the kiyumo, and his sustenance, tenua sevarv, and the movement of his limbs. V'chein ha'adam tzarech lavor al midosav ad sheyavel madrega, because a person is supposed to develop himself to this mida, sheyuchal lehetiv lachaveira afil bezman shemetzela, that he can do good to his friend, even at the time when he's causing him distress. Ad kan tochen dvarv. That's not an exact quote. When you see that abbreviation, Ayin Chaf Tafdal, it's Tochen Dvar, it's a summary. That's a paraphrase of what the Tomer Devora says. I may well just mention the last piece here. I'm not going to read it inside now, but there's a concept in the Gemara about Metzia discussing Prika and Teina. A Prika is unloading an animal, and Teina is loading an animal. So you're supposed to help someone with both. So a person shows up, he needs to unload his animal, you're supposed to help him. A person needs to load up his animal, you're supposed to help him. Now, which takes priority? When you unload an animal, you're also saving the animal from distress. It's been carrying this very heavy burden. There may be some aspect of Tzar Bala Chaim there. So you're supposed to unload the animal. That should take priority if you have the two mitzvos in front of you. The Gemara says an amazing thing, though. Even though unloading an animal generally takes priority, but if two people show up, and the one who has an animal that needs to be loaded is my enemy,
you help him first.
Right. The discussion of what type of enemy is it, but it's somebody I don't like. I'm supposed to help him first. Why? Lokuf es yitzro odif. To overcome his yitzhara is more important. It's better to overcome your yitzhara. So initially the Gemara says, wait a minute. There's an old question whether the concept of tzar bala chayim, that we're supposed to alleviate pain caused to animals, is that the oraisa or the rabbanan? Is that an actual Torah law? Or is it a rabbinic law? And the Gemara has a discussion about it. So the Gemara strokes its beard pensively and says, let's see here. If Tzar Bal Chaim was the oraisa, if there's a Torah law that alleviating the pain of an animal is something you must do, then how could the Gemara say that override the animal that needs to be unloaded and go help your enemy so you'll overcome your Yetzirah? Load up this animal first. So you overcome your Yetzirah to be not nice to that guy. And you have a mitzvah from the Torah to unload the animal that's collapsing under the weight. But then the Gemara says, no, you know what? Even if Tzar Bala Chaim is Da'araisa, even if there's a Torah obligation to alleviate the pain of the animal, overcoming your negative midah takes priority. So it goes that far. The idea that I'm supposed to overcome, I have negative feelings toward this person, I don't want to help him, but now I'm supposed to go do something, an act of chesed toward him, that would override even a da'araisa, even a Torah obligation. That's how far the matter goes. This shows us how, to what level the Torah expects us to develop our midos. May we be zocha. May we be illuminated from the light of Chanukah. And may we be zocha to be misak in our midos. We will continue next week. Be'ez Rosh Hashem.